second. Give her a second.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us.
All right. We're back here. We're back here with Talk Straight. Had a little hiccup there, a little technical difficulty, but we're back on now with Pastor Walla as well as St. Louis and Jacksonville, Florida, 3072. But Josh is joining us, and the show cut Josh off. So if y'all don't mind, we're going to go right back to Josh. And Josh, we have some few people here. He wanted to ask everybody how their Mother's Day was. So let's start there, Josh, and then you'll finish what you were saying, and we'll open up the conversation to the rest of our panel. Appreciate you all's patience there. Okay, Josh, go ahead.
How's your Mother's Day?
It was great.
Josh.
Yeah.
Josh. How you doing,
Josh? It's fine.
Amen. Good to hear your voice, brother.
Good to, yes, sir.
All right, John.
All right. Where did I start?
You were talking about how you began to have your seizures. And the most important
What part did I start off?
Hold on 1 second. I'm going to tell you. Where you left off is how your mom caught you before you could fall to hurt yourself. But you trust God. You didn't allow the doctors or anybody else to stop you from living life. And you got to be about 19 years old. And you were working and continuing as if you were living a normal life any other 19. And so... Bring us back in there.
Okay. Well, I was 19, whatever. And I thought I could do about everything myself. I was
okay.
Coming in for work. And it was the Boys and Girls Club, and I was thinking, okay, Boys and Girls Club, I like kids, I like all this. One day, I have a seizure again.
Oh, my.
No. I'm not supposed to have seizures at work now. No. I can't have seizures anywhere else, but not at work. So there's something wrong now.
Yeah.
So, okay, that was a little seizure, yeah. So I wasn't complaining about that one as much. So I can't even carry on. And then another day, I have another day.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
This is weird. So I'm like, okay, I'm know a few people now that have said I've had seizures. So that means there's something wrong with me.
Okay.
I'm like, okay now. If there's something wrong with me, okay, I got to go to the hospital again.
Okay.
I go to the hospital and get to know I have three things. I end up having I end up having to go to the hospital and they have to transfer me to get ERDs and a lot of other stuff.
Okay.
After that, about 3 more years later, okay, I'm not at the Boys and Girls Club anymore. I am trying to find what I'm going to do next. And God is telling me, just a rest.
Rest?
You've done so much. Just rest for a while.
Okay.
And
all right.
You're getting through so much. Just rest.
Okay.
I got a thing that I have to show you. You are going to have seizures, but also you are going to also be a God-given miracle if you do the right thing.
Okay.
I do my best. I do God-given talents of mine that I see are the right given talents. God blesses me. And that's my story. But I'm still having seizures.
Well, but you know what, though? And I'm going to let the rest of them chime in, Josh. All of us on here with you are old enough to know that life can, if it hasn't already, bring you some challenges. And you're not measured, Josh, by the fact that you've been challenged or even what it looked like going through your challenge. But often what measures is how well we accept it. And you got a pretty good spirit going. This is your age who take life for granted, man. They don't appreciate much. And so let me just turn the floor over. It's open mic. This is Talk Straight, 657-383-0944. If you were joining us earlier and disconnect with us, we apologize, but we're back now. St. Louis is on with us. Pastor Waller, co-host in Jacksonville, Florida there, 3072. 3072, what do you think about that story? And anything you'd like to add?
I think I think that in spite of all the difficulties, it's still a very inspiring story. I mean, there's many people who don't have seizures, but they may have other issues that just keep them down. But you're remaining strong and steadfast, and you are doing the right things. And I believe that's why God keeps blessing you, you know, because there is a work. And it's not just for the unsick, but it's for the sick too, so that they may be healed one day.
Okay.
So I would just say that's a good story and keep doing what you've been doing. Keep pushing on.
Absolutely. So every time we hear from you, you got a very powerful and positive message. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You could have given up a long time ago. Long time ago, but we're grateful for it. What about it, St. Louis? Anything you want to add to that, sir, before we keep it going here?
No, it sounds very promising.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Knowing Josh the way I do, he probably would be in Canada somewhere or Nova Scotia doing out who knows what if it wasn't for those seizures. But we're grateful for his stride today. Pastor, do you have anything you want to add to that before we open up the floor anymore?
Man, Josh is just a great motivator, man. I mean, he's just one of the persons that I love when he talks. I just love to hear him, you understand? I know what it is to have a person that's standing firm and that you don't compromise for the good reasons, situations and circumstances, and he stands firm on it, and that's the power that he possesses. There's something about you know what's within him. That's what comes out, man. As I said, great motivator, man. He's just the kind of person I love to hear talk. Listen to his name. Bring me joy.
All right. Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate that. Josh, I tell you what, my friend. I know that you still aspire to get back to the coaching and things of that nature, and we're certainly praying that opportunity provides itself. Don't want to push you too hard or too far. Too fast, but I'm glad you have the drive to do so. So with that being said, we appreciate you with the talk straight. Just want to say something else? Go ahead.
I just said that if there's a will, there will be a way if God accepts it.
Okay.
God's name. Not in my name, not in your name, but in God's name.
Right. Okay. Well, that's a powerful story for a man of faith there. And I certainly encourage anyone to consider that. To consider that. All right, 3072, what's going on in Jacksonville, Florida, man? I see y'all got some gentrification they trying to bring around there. What y'all doing?
We got what? Oh.
Some gentrification. Some people got their eyes on y'all for gentrification.
That's going on everywhere. These people are just, you know, these investors are buying up everything now. So there you go. Money talks. That's what's going on in Jacksonville.
All the money. We see it around here, don't we, Pastor Wilder, in Nashville? That's for goodness, Joe. That's for goodness, Joe.
Oh, without a doubt.
I was down 8th Avenue. Hardly recognizes things have changed so much in just 5 years.
Without a doubt.
But that's where it is.
So
St. Louis, what's going on? Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, I was just saying at 3072, how you doing? And I believe that you've got a lot going on up there now that you're there. So, I know you're going to find ways and means to get some things done. So it ain't no thing, whatever they're doing up there, you're going to make it work. So just keep doing
that's right. Yeah, I am. But, yeah, I mean, there's, I don't know. I've always thought that Florida could be a much better and much more better regulated. One good thing or good aspect is for, you know, entrepreneurs. There's, man, tremendous opportunity here. But I was just talking to my son about it, too, in other ways that can be kind of bad because, again, nobody's really making these people follow, you know, strict guidelines to ensure the success or safety or other, you know, just, I don't know, it's tough. So it's a little rough, but, yeah, you can make it.
Yeah. I know some... I'm sorry, go ahead, Pat. Go ahead, Pat. What were you were...
No, go ahead. I'm good. Go ahead, Pat. Go ahead.
I was going to say that some people don't like to mention it a lot, but the Opportunity Zone in the previous administration, I don't remember exactly how many census tracts it applies to in Jacksonville, but I know here there are 19, and that's the perfect opportunity. The President Trump administration provided the perfect opportunity for minorities, really, to start businesses using some of the developers' money. I mean, it's perfect.
Well, this is true, but then we go back to the argument that we've had many times on the show about funding,
mm-hmm.
and funding
mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
being fairly distributed, you know,
that
where only some people get access to the money while others don't. And then you got people just trying to make a living, you know, just for an example, you may have a tree cutter. That's a big thing here because we have all these huge trees and landscaping, you know. So you may have a minority that's wanting to be in business, which is totally nothing wrong. But because they don't have the proper funding, they don't have the proper equipment, they're not insured. They're not. You know what I'm saying? And maybe they can do the work.
Well,
but,
may I say this?
So,
U.S. Senator Tim Scott out of South Carolina, he laid a lot of groundwork for this. And he told his story about how his mother struggled in poverty to rear him and send him to college. And he even had student loans, as I understood, and things of that nature. But it was the opportunity for that's really what he wanted to see across America what through this piece of legislation, the opportunities. For now, here's the catch. And we're having that right here in Nashville, too, where elected officials that are representing certain districts, senatorial district, House district, I'm talking about state Senate and House districts and even council districts or wards are not making their constituents aware of the existence of this opportunity because where this comes from, 37, it directly comes from the developers that are putting money in the city and it allows them to get a tax break if they provide a certain amount of money for minority startups. But if the people don't come to take advantage of it, right, they don't know it exists or how to access it, then the business people get to get away with still getting the tax credit oftentimes and not having anywhere to place it. Or they wait until, this is the big rules right here, you sell your property, right, which is in the zone. You wasn't the person that suffered for years, but because you gave it to somebody else, now they benefit from the resources that follow that area that property is in.
Not to cut you off, but to argue to the point that you're making, I've gotten, three offers to buy my house within the last month, let's just say.
Is that right?
Offering over the value price. But why? I researched because, guess what? This is, like you were talking about, the gentrification. We have a lot of men running around here, men and chocolate bunnies. And, yes, we see this as an area that's up and coming now because now there's interest in it. So, everybody just supposed to sell their houses and go find somewhere else to live. so they can, you know, and like you were saying, downtown, they're doing work down there too, and I'm close to that. So, yeah, it makes perfect sense, but I'm not a fool.
No. Here's what you can do.
Yeah.
Go to your housing, your HUD place, and find out what federal funds are available for you basically building up on your property. That's what
mm-hmm.
the developers do. They talk to
mm-hmm.
you, we talk to you, buying your properties for essentially pennies. And then once they get the deed in their name, they qualify now for the development fund.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their money, it's our money, it's their money. But it's oftentimes a little known fact in minority communities.
Yeah.
And this is why they get moved out past Walla. And they look up, and they can't afford to come back there no more.
That's right. After they done made
dynamic.
It beautiful like it should have been.
Yeah, well. Now, I would kind of argue that the people there should have, you know what I mean, invested more or done more to keep it clean and clean. I mean, I don't want to be ugly, but when you see trash and things of that nature, that don't have to be like that. You know what I mean? Broken down vehicles.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, and that's not just so much the biggest problem, I don't think, here, but it goes, again, back to the root cause, which is money, funds. We have so many beautiful big buildings here that's just vacant. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Sure.
Couldn't there be businesses in there? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, but people need money to start them up. So, and,
okay.
Yeah, only a certain people get access to those funds, even.
Well, let me ask you all a question. Did you all know that Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, the Golden Arch, he didn't have no money when he first started up his business, I think in 1950-something. He borrowed money from his insurance. He had a certain type of index insurance policy that
mm-hmm.
grew into a certain situation. He borrowed money for it to start his business. Now the man is a billionaire. Well, he gone on, but, you know, his
mm-hmm.
corporation is still there. There are several wealthy individuals now, and some of them are dead, but what people don't understand is the value of those types of products, you know,
mm-hmm.
and position
yeah.
yourself. I'm selling St. Louis a concept to some prospective clients of $1 million baby. I'm showing them how with one of the products that we offer, they can invest in their children at 1 year old, and by the time they turn 50, they'd be worth $1 million. You don't believe that, do you, St. Louis? You believe that, St. Louis?
Yeah, I know you're going to tell them.
No, well, I said it laughingly, but I'm seriously. These are what seem to be little-known facts or information in certain communities. And I just want to reiterate the fact that when we educated our people to these things, I think they'll find that you don't have to wallow around. I'm talking about young people now, Josh. You know what I mean? Who got their strength
mm-hmm.
and their energy, their mental faculties, but they don't know what to do with themselves. They just walk around like zombies, man. And that's how they get caught up in all kind of stuff. If we were to take these young people, Josh, and put this type of stuff in front of them, man, and let them occupy their days 24 hours a day with that, what do you think the outcome would be, Josh, if that happened?
He could be, there's so much stuff really. 24/7, 7 days a week that we could do for our generation today. I always had to play play in the grass until it was like 7 o'clock. When I was younger.
Okay.
So,
and then I would go inside. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So
sure.
There's no telling how many just little stuff we could have done that we aren't doing today. That could make a cause.
Absolutely. That's a great point, Josh. That is a great point. And watch this, Josh. You got the average person in their 20s right now like you. 10 years will get away from you so fast, man. you find yourself in your 30s wondering, dang, what just happened? How did I get here, right? And you missed out on valuable opportunities while you were young. Pastor, you're probably tired of hearing me talk about it, Pastor, but you know the story. Man. This is what we see. And I just wonder the loud mouths that are in position of influence. I'm going to talk about us preachers now, Pastor Wallace. You know, I know COVID shut us down for a minute, but this is the perfect opportunity to come back home telling the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. You know what I mean? I don't know what that is, Brother Pastor, about how to get, you know, get to heaven, but before you get to heaven, be happy here on earth. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor.
No, ain't nothing wrong with it, brother. You all right?
I mean, that's the first piece. Now, then St. Louis would tell you that you got people you vote for and you wonder where are they? What are they? Because you still can't see no benefit. And you go 2 years, 4 years, and you're like, man, time just flying, and you ain't done nothing for me. Is that right, St. Louis?
Well, people can, it's got the ambition, the forethought, they can accomplish what they have, what they may. The founder of Amazon, he worked fast food restaurant. He was a product of a teenage mother. You got the guy that started UPS. He borrowed money from his grandmama to kick that off. And stories like that all over the place. People have ideas.
Right.
They go ahead and put those ideas into fruition and make them work.
Make it work.
Now, I don't think the federal government is giving people loans to start businesses without going through the proper channels.
One
is a business plan. If it don't work on paper, it's not going to work in real life.
Right. SBA, Small Business Administration, even require you to have at least a business plan, right?
You got to show what's going on. And, you know, you had a preacher by the name of Luke Walker of Meridian Baptist Church there in Meridian, Mississippi.
Okay,
I think he had 90% of his congregation was on welfare.
Okay.
And within a given amount of time, the people in that congregation went from being on welfare to owning automobile repair shops, owning meat processing plants, farmland. They done very, very well under his enthusiastic leadership.
That's a good point right there, because that's an excellent way you can be, you know, and I think sometimes when we talk about this, ladies and gentlemen, people think we're trying to get away from faith and worship. But the truth of the matter is, your day-to-day life impacts you, have an effect on you. And that's one way that he's describing with this pastor here, the way the church can be transformative in a social way, you know, socioeconomic way more than anything. I get the sense that when people talk about social justice, they really talk about one aspect of it, and they're really not talking about the work you got to put in. You know what I mean? To make your environment productive for you, meaningful, safe, the whole nine yards. if you're just looking for the government to do it, I'm sorry, you're going to be messed up. I don't care who's in the White House. That just ain't there. I don't believe that's the government job to do that. What do you think about that?
Hey.
Think the governor? Huh? Who was that? Who was
If you don't work at it, you are not going to succeed at anything. This is the truth. If you don't work at it, you are not going to. If you sit on your rump all the time and you don't think God is just going to give it to you, that is not the truth.
Right. Well,
if you have to work at it, and he might surprise you with a gift every once in a while, but you have to work at it, and he surprises you with gifts.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I get you. I follow you, man. I follow you 100%. But now, here's the flip side.
You don't sit down and do nothing, and the Holy Spirit just that's how you do it. That's how you do it. No, that's not how it works.
Okay.
I wish you did, but you don't.
what you saying, John? Is you got to break some sweat a little bit? You said it got to be some sweat equity in there. What? Wait a minute now. I just want mine, and I want it now.
It's not a good idea to mess with your annuities.
I want mine. I want it now. Well, this brings up a concept. Ladies and gentlemen, in psychology called delayed gratification. And any successful person will tell you that they have to apply that principle as they work to build themselves up to become successful. It just doesn't, I'm not aware of any case where it just happened overnight. Bam. You know, that there are some outliers, some situations where some people call it luck, you know. In general, you have to, even if you come up with an idea, a plan, right, you got to work that plan, and you got to stick to it to see it to fruition. And that means you got to put, I mean, sometimes it may be disappointing. St. Louis, were there moments where you had to make pivots and make adjustments with staff and things of that nature? Was that your experience, St. Louis?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
I mean, you know.
It wouldn't be fun if you didn't have those moments.
It wouldn't be fun, huh?
No.
Can you give us an example of a time where you realized, okay, I can't keep going this way because we're not going to work, right? Here's where we have to make the shift, the change. To do something different. Can you give an example of that?
Well, you can have those experiences just driving down the street looking for an address.
Okay.
You went so far and you haven't located what you're looking for. You finally realize instead of making a right, you should have made a left.
Yeah. Is it frustration that keeps us, though, from continuing to make the changes that we need to? Because, you know, we assume largely, a lot of times, I've been guilty of that, you know, I'm doing this for a reason. If it don't come out like I wanted, I did it for nothing. No, you didn't do it for nothing. You had a intended goal. You just got to ask yourself, now what must I do to reach the original goal? You know? The first plan, kind of, you know, there was some bumps in the road, some monkey wrenches. But now what I got to do? you know, to and get myself back to the end, not necessarily the means, but the end. 3072, you've been around a little bit. Any experiences like that you've had? Well, you knew you
had.
Yeah,
and I've learned over the years that it's better to, when you have a plan, to prepare for the plan, to prepare the plan, to work it fully. A great example is we had a large tree had to be cut down right next door to me. And I was upset to see, again, you know, just people trying to make money. But, you know, they did not have the right equipment out there, which caused great concern for my roof with you trying to pull a tree down with some rope and some kind of weed cutter looking thing. Like, really, you're going to, okay. Thank God everything was okay. But, yeah, something like that. So if that's the kind of business, for instance, that you're trying to go into, maybe you can't afford to buy the equipment. But certainly when you get jobs, you can rent the equipment so that you can do a good, safe job so you can continue to get jobs. But
that's,
if you go out and you just start doing stuff, not putting much into it, nobody going to keep calling you for work. Because they gonna know you from the last shoddy job or the damage you've caused somebody's property, or, you know. So if you're gonna do something, you should plan for it and make sure you have all the necessary tools, and so you can be successful in doing it.
What I'm hearing you say too is you have to count up the risks that come with it and ask yourself, how can I avoid? You know what I mean? Getting caught up in some sort of ability, you know, some risk or something associated with whatever. But yeah, you got to make money, right? And a lot of times we do the Lord understand the faith thing. And that's good. That's good. But when you tell it, that tree go down to somebody else, who going to pay for it, right? And if you don't have insurance, if you don't have insurance, somebody be coming after you. There's a lawsuit, right? But we're not discrediting God now. Let me make that clear. I don't want nobody to go and say, Dr. Tomo, God ain't able. You know, Josh, I was told a story about a preacher and his deacon out in the woods in the country. The preacher had two or three churches he'd go to and preach at. And so he had to walk through the woods to get from one to the next. Well, in this particular case, the deacon was with him. They were walking from one church to the next. And they had bears out there, black bears. And the preacher and the deacon were talking, and next, all of a sudden, a bear jumped out. And as they were talking, Josh, what the preacher was telling the deacon is that, you know, God is good in any situation. You can trust God, and he'll bring you. And the preacher said, deacon said, that's right. Well, when the bear came, the deacon stood up and remembered what the preacher said. He said, I'm ready to face this bear. Looked around, Josh, all he could see was the back of the preacher's feet. All he could see was the back of the preacher's feet. When he caught up with the preacher, he said, preacher, can you tell me the Lord will protect you? He said, yeah. Said, then you tell me God was good? Yeah. Then you tell me God can fix it? He said, yeah. He said, son, let me tell you something. The Lord, talking about the Lord is good in a prayer meeting, but that ain't going to work in a bear meeting. You got to use your feet, son.
It didn't take long for me to say.
And that is absolutely true. I think that is absolutely true. Because the Lord will protect you, but you got to use your sense, too.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Hold on, man.
You got to use your
sense,
too, now.
That's what I said earlier. You
got to
put the work in.
There you go.
Okay. Okay. Wait a minute now. Don't sound like y'all got much trust now. You have been able to pray and talk to that bear in the name of Jesus, right?
Yeah, and in the name of sense, you ought to be able to talk to God, and he'll tell you, run, child, run.
Yeah.
Run, my slap, my child.
That's right. Talk about your movie.
Well, I think there are a lot of people are under the misnomer, though, that just because you're a faith, you're supposed to be foolish. You know what I mean?
All right.
And you're not take certain things and certain realities into account. And, you know, and that's out of misunderstanding, blindness, and what have you, which is one of the reasons I personally believe you ought to have a personal relationship. You ought to study so yourself is fool, right, and understand the nature of your faith and so on. You know, said it jokingly, but as you go ahead, Senator.
But Pastor Dockery, I think most people, I guess, or many people, not most, get caught up and stuck in the Bible days. That has where, you know, all kind of miracles were being worked. And they have trouble, I guess, differentiating the time, you know, back then and now. And that's not to say that God is not able and that he's not still working miracles.
Okay,
but, the three fishes and what was it, two, whatever, the loaves of bread and the fish, right. It's going to take a little bit more than that, today. So,
that's interesting. Now, when Jesus was his disciples and they had a multitude of people, over 5,000 people, you know, the disciples were like, hold up, man, don't tell all these people we're going to feed them. We're going to get whooped out here. And they started counting the fish and counting the bread and counting the people, said, we got to go, man, because this crowd going to tell us all the people. And Jesus said to them, you counted the bread, count all these people, count the fish, you count the three of us, the handful, but you didn't count on me. That's a problem.
Well,
all
right.
Huh? You understand? Well, the question is, again, what is it? What is that example of faith, you know? And faith is not about being foolish, but it's about using your experience and knowing how you overcome other challenges or situations or whatever. That don't make no sense standing there trying to wrestle with no bear. I mean, the average bear is about, what, 3 or 4 times stronger, if not more than an average man? We get some tranquilizers, that, Josh. We pull out some tranquilizers and put them to sleep, you understand? And you can drag them all day long. When you go to sleep, you can drag them all day long. He'd be as long as he sleeps. That's how you deal with the bear. And your intelligence tells you that, right? Yeah, I mean, why am I going to sit and wrestle with a lion or a tiger? Don't get that tranquilizer, lay him down. And you know what I mean? And I can talk to him, talk crazy to him while he sleeps. You ain't nothing. Read the bubble-eyed tiger. You got to do something now. But don't let that tranquilizer wear off. Then you'll be in trouble. But say that laughingly, but that's the truth. And we were just speaking in general about putting the work in. If I had to put a title on it, it would be putting the work in to see success as an outcome. 2022, if tell folk nothing else, I'm seeing it's not just young blacks now, but a lot of young whites are out there, and they just is immature in their thinking and their actions, and so they put on anyway. And you see a lot of this in the colleges now, Pastor Wallace. This baby mindset, in the, you know, this mindset that says we want the very best that life has to offer, but we want to be able to get away with doing the least we have to for it. That dog ain't going to hunt right there now. I mean, come on, man. You got to put some kind of work in. Is that right, Pastor?
You got to put some work in, brother. That's just the bottom line to that, man. You know, it ain't nothing wrong with putting the work in and still walking in expectancy. You know, and that's a good thing because it takes work.
Right.
I mean, if you just kind of give me a moment right here, I can tell you what I'm getting ready to say as I look back over.
Okay, go ahead.
I put in a lot of work.
Yes, sir.
I put in a lot of work years ago. Sleepless nights. You know, I mean, I worked really hard, but I wasn't working to do God's will. I was working to do the devil's will, but I put in the work. And so
I've
seen a lot of things take place by putting in the work. It makes sense to put in the work when you're over here dealing with doing the will of God, you know, and that's just that's kind of like a really common sense type thing, you know, with me now, you know, and realize, look at all the damage, man, and that work you put in, you know, so to do some good, that's why I exalt others more highly than myself, you know, I think about things like that, and sometimes people probably maybe thinking that not intentionally thinking they're misusing me, they could just not know no better. And because if you put in the work, you put in the faith. Well, I do a lot of work on this side, brother. I'll tell you one thing. The pay financially is not like the pay was when I was doing the work for the devil. But the reward is much greater. So I'd rather take
right
now over the money that I used to get. And that's the thing about it. Yeah. Money don't always make everything all right with me because of the damage that
okay
I made with money. So I've got to take and have the peace that comes from seeing lives change mm-hmm and people enjoying themselves and things like that. So, but it still takes work to get that done.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. If you got a setback then, you know, it's like stacking Lego blocks. And you done built yourself about a good 5-foot tower, man. You know what I mean? Took you a long time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody came around, knocked your block down, man. So you start on with Josh, mm-hmm, you just say, but I'm done.
Oh, I start over. If you want the prize, you got to do the work to get the prize.
Right. Right.
So
now, you did.
If
you did.
Somebody knocks over my block, I got to start over.
Yeah.
One by one.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. So Josh, you couldn't take a stick and whip him until he got that thing built back like he found it? You can't do that, huh?
No, that's not how it works. that's not how it works.
That's doggone it. You tore it up, you're going to put it back in the kennel. Well, yeah. And I think that's where the rubber meets the road quite often. Even in the plight, Pastor Waller, of African Americans and minorities, who for years, decades, have went and worked hard and struggled and really couldn't see the benefit of their labor, right? And I think that's why we hear the constant cry of people discrimination and things of that nature. But I wonder, 3072, if the truth of the matter is we've had more opportunities than in the last 80 to 100 years that have not been taken advantage of. As a whole, I'm not saying everybody. I don't want to give the wrong impression. But the vast majority. Would you agree with that? That there have been more opportunities and advances, particularly for African Americans, Negro, Black, and Colored folks, that have not been fully taken advantage of since integration. Would you agree with that?
Yes, to a certain extent, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it seems to me, 3072, by now, 15 to 20-year-olds ought to be able to recite word for word, verbatim, the most important words from figures that we talk about, Dr. King, Malcolm X, you
mm-hmm
understand what I'm saying, folk
mm-hmm
like that, Booker T, and then folk like that. Look like to me, that ought to be so deeply rooted in their conscience that they can
mm-hmm
sing it like they sing these rap songs. But among them being able to recite them, they don't have a clue as to what the relevance of that today.
Right.
It could even be
right
there, people in their families that have done tremendous things that have brought them to this mm-hmm point. What? How is it that that's not passed down? Can we talk about that for a second? How is it that if you are a generation that has success, how is it that you don't teach that to the next generation? Start on that sentence.
Because of, I guess, the change in times and the changing generations as time passed. I mean, look at the family values. Most aren't the same anymore.
Okay.
I mean, quite a large number of people are saying that they don't need a man or a woman to have a family. You know, it could be two men or two women, or it could be a single woman, or it could be a single man. And then grandmothers aren't the grandmoms they used to be, the grandfathers even. So that's how. So when a lot of that strong family structure and dynamics is lost or gone or dissipated, then, yeah, what do you expect? People won't know who Dr. Martin Luther King is or Booker T. Washington or anything else relevant to that, a struggle even. We're talking about working hard to get somewhere. Everything is, like you said, we just want to see it instantaneously.
So that's how that happens.
And that's hard, instantaneously. They want it right then and there. That's what you're saying.
That's right.
But those people
went through great struggle, and they didn't get it right then and right there. Some of them died before getting it at all.
Right.
Wow.
And that's not recognized or even appreciated, it seemed like.
It should be. That's a good point. It's not like the old days anymore. We don't trust our elders. We don't trust anybody but ourselves nowadays. And it's almost scary.
Yeah.
We just trust ourselves. Or we might not even trust ourselves to do something.
Well, you know what, Josh, when they got a question, they jump on their phone and go to YouTube and see if they can answer it for us.
Or they can
Google
it. Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the problem with that. There's a lot of misinformation even there, or misleading information. And if you got that from, as Josh, and you had a connection or communication with your elders to where they're going to be the first one you go to. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's to sustain generational development and wealth is by having a strong tie from one generation to the next, you know.
But you
hit it in the head. When people allow the redefining of the family institution, you break down the very bedrock of a community or society.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see how that's problematic. Sound like you all are making the case for people, rather than you go out to the streets with your fist in the air, so-called protesting, go to the library and learn something. Huh? Josh, anything wrong with that? March to the library and take sit in the library, stay there all night if you want to. So we ain't leaving until we get something out of here. What about that, Josh?
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all.
I never will forget Pastor Waller. It was in the early 90s or so on Fifth Campus. The folks decided they're going to sit in on the campus. They're going to protest, right? You know where they went to take over, the building they went to take over, Pastor Waller? The library. That's what we want y'all to know. Well, we don't marry you taking over. Yeah, man, shoot. We don't care about you going in the library now. You go to the principal's office or the administration building, then we'd be a little nervous. We'll be worried then. But you're talking about going to the library. Hey, that's cool. Going in the library.
Yeah. They support that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, but it's the idea that there's this backward thinking, and I say that with all due respect. If collectively speaking, if we're going to make those changes, that's where the change has to come. And I appreciate Josh talking about his struggle and how he's the outlook that he has, you know. And I would imagine, Josh, there are others who have maybe not the exact same challenge, but challenge themselves that prevent them from being 100% like they want to be, right? But I, you know, that with that kind of faith, man, you can wind up like the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, jump in the water. It's been troubled already. Amen. You'll be made whole again. I ain't come to preach. Watch out, Pastor Wall. I didn't come to take a tech with nothing like that.
It's never. Not a bad time to say a word, though, so it's all right.
All right. Yes, sir. All right. Well, we got about 33 minutes. 657-383-0944. Anything else that is open mic? It's been open mic. I apologize again for, I don't know, I'm going to have to, I can't get nobody on the phone, though, on the Blog Talk Network. But we've been having a number of issues with our sound and with the, if I was getting it for free, that would be all right, St. Louis, but they get their money every month, man. That's my problem with it. Like, golly, can I get, but I guess.
Well, you
got to
get on.
Yeah.
Settle for being grateful.
No. Not just grateful. Don't just be grateful. Yeah, they, you know, everything now is all email and that sort of thing. I like to talk to a human being. Don't give me all that person so I can hold somebody to account. But nonetheless, we're grateful that we got a few more minutes. Anything else anybody like to share before we close out for the night? Yeah, we got about 30 minutes or so before we wrap it up. Pastor Waller?
Yes, sir.
You were... I know your camp is coming up here. Man, the time is getting up on us, ain't it, man? Do you have a date set for your camp this year?
No, I haven't tapped into one just yet. It'll probably be around the same time.
Round two.
But,
yeah.
I haven't made known of it just yet. I've just been going out and, you know, just doing a lot of things to make preparation, you know, for what I've learned and what the people need to be mindful of and things like that. So before I hit the court, we got to make sure people be around so we can hit the court, man, because the speed of the violence and the intent, you know, is so strong that it's just attractive.
Yeah.
And it's a strong, powerful lure that comes from it.
Right.
And people,
right.
You know, you get a hook in a person, and they don't know how to shake out of it. That means they have to get on the hook until they release them, and then all of a sudden they're applying what the one who put the hook out there wants them to do. So it's not like they get away, you know. Most of them don't shake out of it and get away, but unfortunately. I've been watching it, looking at it, seeing it for what it is, and realizing that it's about the solution versus the problem. In other words, I don't want to just tap into the problem and look at the problem as if it's going to continue, but I like to look at what I know about the problem and get into the solution. And so that's where I've been at so far. It still remains in my mindset, man. So yes, I'm watching some of the killings and the shootings and all those things still taking place. So I know you said something earlier about a person should be by now able to recite some of the things about those great leaders. But unfortunately, something has been placed before the people that with a young, immature mind cannot handle certain things, but they can handle the destruction because it's been placed before them by the hands of the wicked. It's hard for them to get information from the righteous as a result of that. I can say because of my initiative, I had myself, I had one and I didn't know no better, so it captured me. So that's what happened.
Sure. I mean, it doesn't make you a bad person to be a victim. You know what I mean?
No, not at all. Just it's a victim of circumstances.
Right. Well, I tell you, for sure, the need is great. You know what I mean? And if it's not you, if it's not me, somebody would need to continue. And I noticed that in the areas that you've been working at, there's a lot of mobility, too. People are moving around a lot. You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard to keep up with that population. Part of the factor is, people are being bought. Some homes are being bought out or for different reasons. People move out of the neighborhood and things of that nature. So, you want to try to make sure you're consistent with your effort there. And I know that's what you've been doing the fifth year now? Yeah.
No, I've been doing it. I've been doing it along with a bit, Pastor. I've been doing it.
I'm talking about the camp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm saying I've been doing the camp for many, many, many years. And, we've been doing it like that for about 5 years that you were talking about. But I've been on the court because it's been necessary. And it's like I'm realizing more and more that it's going to take somebody to care. And so since you and I have been doing what we've been doing, it's just an opportunity to get kids, up under your teaching because, see, they don't know that you have so much to offer. And maybe this round right here is possibly, I would say, that the gathering would be a lot larger gathering, man, where kids would be able to hear from you. I believe that's going to happen.
So, all right.
I'm doing all
we
that.
Have to work on it. Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir. I said we'll have to work on that. We have to build the number of sponsors out a little bit more and maybe invite some other neighborhoods. But that's something we'll work on. That's where it is, man.
Because one thing I'm sure of, if they ever got a chance to hear you, they would enjoy it. So that's the good part. It's no thing about that. I'm serious. I'm not having no problem with that. It's just about gathering them at a time where they'll be excited about it and, interested in learning, because I believe they would, man. From what they have been learning, from what I've been sharing with them, man, they would be very open. I just believe that. It's an intelligent young generation of kids, man.
I was going to say the area that I put most of my attention in was Ferguson and Penrose community. And I sometimes wonder if there were some positive things going on, right? There's some groups that were trying to do. Sometimes I wonder if there's a concerted effort to try to cover that up and put water on the fire, you know what I mean, for those groups. Because there were some groups that were doing some pretty good things. I think you mentioned a couple of them in the area. What was his name? Ray, the preacher there. can't call his last name. Man. You know what I'm talking
Pagans.
About.
Well, man, Pagans. Wonder you got out of it. It's a wonder you got out of there with your hair.
Well, I mean, you know, that's a challenge, though, right? That's a challenge. And you should
sure
be wise, you know what I mean? Well, it's a rough area. What's the name of that park that runs through there?
They call it Death Valley now.
Is that what they call it? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay. But I said that to say that we don't want to take away from the proactive things that are, you just don't hear about them. The media's not going to put that on the news, man. They don't make money like that. They don't make money like that. So some kind of way, you got to highlight those efforts. We did have a brother from Ferguson also, who's with the Urban League and working with, they had some really good things going there. And I'm pretty sure that Brother Stevens, they're still doing it. Perhaps we have to try to get them to come back on and give us an update on how things are going. But there are some positives. I want to make sure we make that known. Jacksonville got some good things going on. We got a fan on
37.
We just got to find them. That's all. And not
just got to find them. That's all right.
Yeah, and pull them out. You know what I mean? Bring those things out. Yeah. Sometimes, though, Pastor, I believe the expectation has got to be grand on some grand level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And look like the bigger deal you make out of it, the least people stick with that. So give them something small. They can wrap their mind around, you know, be consistent. And at least they can see progress from there. You know what I mean? Then sometimes it looks like too big of a deal for some folks. And they get scared, get intimidated by the task at hand. What can you do, though?
I want to know why you and Pastor Waller let that inmate and that correctional officer get away from Tennessee. Have you followed that story?
They weren't from Tennessee. They were from Alabama.
Well, they were there. Y'all should have been on the lookout.
They did stop through Franklin.
Yeah, they stopped through there somewhere.
This is a current event. It was a 17-year pastor, sheriff, jailer, as I understand it, a lady. She's in her 50s and got sweet-talked and bamboozled by a 30-some-year-old inmate.
38.
38-year-old inmate.
Oh, yeah.
And he sweet-talked her into literally walking him right out of jail and escaping with him.
Oh, man.
And you know her life. Yeah, you know her life was over there. You know her life was over there. And in the end, because he had absolutely nothing to lose when they caught up with him, he didn't go out like Bunny and Clyde. He turned himself in, and she killed herself.
Yeah. Right. Look at that.
He already knew he had three hearts in the cot waiting on him when he got back.
Right. And 75 years to go if he lived in prison. But somebody was saying, one of the news reporters was saying how they got him back, and, you know, he showed no remorse at all for, you know, her committing suicide and her life being gone. What do they expect?
Right. She was just a casual in the war, right? I mean, she was a victim of circumstances.
Yeah.
It's sad, but, you know, she sold a house, I'm told, and cashed out all her money. And she sold
retired
her house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You did what now?
The lady.
She sold her house in preparation to help him escape. Weeks before the escape, She sold her house that was valued at $240,000 for $90,000 cash. Then
what?
She went and bought him some clothes. And then she turned in her papers to retire. And a week after that, she ran, you know, helped him escape. So,
oh, no. Yeah, no.
Wow.
That was, oh, that was planned.
Wow.
Well,
yeah, it was planned. And, yeah.
He got in ahead, man. It's sad, but yeah, that's what happened there. Yeah, they came through Tennessee, and they wind up in Indiana, I believe, some part of Indiana.
Yeah.
Where they caught them. So. It's a lot going on, though, you know. It's a lot going on, and people are just...
That is.
people are just losing it.
Sad case.
Yeah, it is. Did she have children, 3072?
No, she didn't have children, but she had a mother who was saying she didn't know anything about it. And then I would question the correctional or the sheriff department where they were. Like, she was such an exemplary employee, and, you know, nobody knew anything. I mean, that's kind of funny. And then how was she able to not follow policy? I worked for the prison. There should have been two officers. How was she allowed to even take somebody, a murderer, a three-time murderer, and to go for 75 years by herself? That, yeah, there needs to be some answers behind that one. I'm sorry.
There's usually a lead car and a chase car, somebody of that high profile. So, when I heard the story that they were gone, and first the story was they were concerned that he offed or did something with him. I said, no, because I can think of a security profile, protocols that were not followed there. I mean,
that's really sad. No, I only brought it up because it's sad, too, how much, again, you were talking about people's issues and mental health and depression and all of that. I just feel bad because that poor woman must have really not had a life, you know, nothing she was excited about or loved to just have thrown everything away for that.
For this
nothing.
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if it's one piece of legislation that I could see pass, it would be one that allows family members to be able to have some sort of trigger to stop their loved ones that are mentally ill from getting caught up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Harming them to anybody else if they knew. You know what I mean? And that's a difficult thing because you're treading on individual rights. But if they're mentally ill, you know what I mean? I would love something where a family member can become, there's a trigger to where a family member can become a conservator for their loved one under those situations. So just say how so many, you know, a lot of the engaging with law enforcement is because of oftentimes undiagnosed mental health illness.
That's right. Yeah.
But there you go. Josh, you got quiet on me, bro. Where you is?
I'm just listening to y'all. I was just listening because the Lord, even if he doesn't do it on the earth, he's gonna do what he's gonna do, how he's gonna do it, when he's gonna do it, however he's gonna do it. And we really don't know what happened, how it happened, and all that stuff. So really, we shouldn't care as much about it, if you get what I'm saying.
Of About what now?
Because we aren't in their shoes.
Are you talking about the case where the correction officer and the inmate took off?
Yeah.
Well,
like, we're not in their shoes, so let's not put them in our shoes.
Interesting.
Well,
you know,
Josh, for me,
The Lord is going to do it anyway. It's like, so if he's not going to do it here, he's going to do it somewhere, and he's going to do it sooner or later. So it's
Listen to this for you. Take this under consideration. Go ahead, 72, because I think she's probably going to echo the same thing. Go ahead, 72. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just saying, he's right. We don't know the conversations. We don't know the level of manipulation. We don't know what her life was like. What we do know is that man has killed 3 people before he met her, and that's how he met her. And that's wrong and unjust and unjustified. But with that being said, I followed it, and I have been worried about it, and I've been keeping up with it because I'm a woman. I'm a woman. And any woman or most women are being taken advantage of. Maybe not to that severe of level of, you know, but that's another incident, another case where somebody's life is gone because of a wrong decision, because of vulnerability, because of possible depression, because of a lot of factors, things that shouldn't be. And I was just saddened to see again, yet, another, and then this was a white woman in this instance, but another woman's life has gone because she was too vulnerable and weak.
Yeah, well, let me chime in. Josh, I was going to say similarly that having worked as a correction officer myself, I saw the many times where women were working in an all-male facility.
Yeah.
And those kept 24/7, 365. That's how much time they had on their hand to play with their minds. They knew that they were there working. And that they didn't have much of a life outside, especially when they did overtime and things of that nature. And they played games. A lot of ladies got caught up, Josh, in that. So, you know, there's a little experience with this thing, man. And I don't know if the case should be made that certain places are not a good place for women to be exposed to. I remember when I first started, Josh, back in the late 80s, early 90s, I was invited to come work at the women's prison. I said, oh, no, not in a million years. Not in a million years. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Not that I didn't trust myself. I wasn't like Pastor Wiley. He don't trust himself. But I'm just saying, I, no. Not me.
Well, no, and I've worked both of them, and to be in agreement with you, I've worked the male's prison and TPSW.
Okay.
So I do understand the dynamic. I had no trouble at the men's prison because, like you said, they was too busy trying to woo and run game, you know. But at the women's prison, I was fair prey to them. I had the roughest, hardest time because they saw another woman, somebody that wasn't going to fall for, you know, their tricks or all the little games they play. So I agree with you. Yeah.
I just wanted to let Josh know that there's some context to this, Josh. This ain't like this just happened once. It's a unusual event. It's happening all the time, you know. You've been around enough, you can hear stories about how people who got caught up, they wind up doing time.
Yeah, because she was about to do time and she wouldn't have killed herself.
That's what she knew. You know?
Yeah.
She knew what she was going to
wind up. That's what she knew. That's
yes,
what
sir.
She knew. But I'm just saying, God's going to deal with everybody when it's due.
That's true.
That's all, man.
Yeah, we agree with that. But also, the Alabama state prison system is going to deal with old boy now. He's going back to lay back down. That's you know, and sadly they're gonna lay her to rest for the rest of eternity. And he's going to lay down with three hots in the cot and do what he probably go play some dominoes or something or whatever he was doing before he broke out. Sad part about it, but like you say,
he won't be getting no more White Castles and McDonald's sprung up there on visitation day, so he can forget.
He
can forget that with cookies and juices brought up there.
And the wham-whams, is that what you're saying? Oh, my goodness.
That commissary ain't coming no more either.
No. He's going to be in segregated housing for a minute. By medicine. But anyway, so much for that. We got about 8 minutes. Josh, thank you, man, for sharing your story, for having the courage, brother, to share your story, man. And I want to encourage you to keep your head up and keep on doing what you're doing, man. It takes a lot of strength to be able to a German author by the name of Paul Tillich, he was a theologian, he wrote a book called The Courage to Be. And his thesis was, you've got to look deep down within, Josh, and find the courage to be who you are and to maintain that.
Mm-hmm.
Keep on doing what you're doing. Do what you're doing there. Final word for Josh before we pass it around here.
My final word is you don't know everything until you do know everything.
Okay. That's paradoxical there. You don't know everything until you do know everything. All right. That's a philosophical spin over there, Josh. You got my head squirming over here now. Okay, well, we appreciate that. What about 372?
I just wanted to thank Josh and let him know how much I admire him and his faith in God, even through all of his trials and tribulations. So you are an encouragement to me. So thank you.
Right.
Thank you. And I'm sure that God appreciates you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
One song said, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve it. Yeah. So thank you, 372. We appreciate that. And Josh, St. Louis, give us a final word, man, before we cut out here.
Well, I got famous words to say.
What's
rise,
that?
Peter, slay and eat.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate you joining with us, sir, and sharing your wisdom and your information there. And we look forward to, in the future, having you come back and join us again. All right, then. Pastor Waller, that being said, we're going to turn the floor over to you, man, for you to walk us on out of here, man. Walk us in the glory tonight. Walk us in the glory.
Hey, well, I tell you one thing. I got a lot of joy out of the conversation tonight. And,
yes, sir.
You know, when I think about what they said to the said and how Joshua was being admired, and then he would say, you don't know everything until you do what? That sounds like you got some more work to do. So I want to let it be known that, you know, that the word says seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so that means there's some more to go. And I like that because if I don't continue to seek him, then I won't learn. That's why the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get understanding. So that's a good point. I like what I heard them say. So we thank God for St. Louis, for 372 and Joshua, and of course, Pastor Doctor,
to praise God for you doing what you're doing, what you're doing. And I'm going to turn it back over to you because I know once you continue to speak the will of God and his righteousness, remember, his righteousness, then he said, all these things shall be added unto you. That's good news. That's what he's telling you.
That is good news.
You got to keep speaking. You got to keep speaking. Amen.
All right. All right. Well, with that, thank you, Pastor Waller. You've been listening to Talk Straight. And we've had an open mic episode again, an open mic, I'm sorry. We'll be back next Tuesday for another episode. We're going to let Tremaine Hawker tell us about change and how change is going to come. We'll see you next time.